The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and it's a super Saturday in store, providing the racing goes ahead, of course. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Good, Mark. Not underwater yet.
Yes, the rain is continuing to cause quite a few problems, providing racing goes ahead. The card at Newbury is very good. The card at Warwick is also pretty useful. And we should have some good jumping to look forward to, providing that we beat the weather again.
Yeah, hopefully. I just read a report just now saying a 75-foot tsunami to hit the UK.
Really?
Yeah, but, I mean, look, you don't know how true these things are. But, let's just hope that everything... I just hope the predicted weather doesn't hit tonight and that racing can go ahead. I think it all hinges on tonight, really, doesn't it?
Mm. That would be a new one. Racing abandoned due to a tsunami.
In the form book, abandoned tsunami. I just hope that Newbury's so far inland that it misses that. But no, I mean, God, all joking aside, I hope that really isn't the truth. You know, the poor people on the coast have suffered enough. Without that hitting.
Yeah.
I was just trying to work out how many miles inland we were here, but it's been a horrible week, hasn't it, really?
Yeah. Newbury, then, we're going to focus mainly on that, but before we get there, we'll talk about a few of the news stories, and I suppose we should really talk about Rock and Ruby, who had a nice little spin round on Thursday afternoon, and that pleased Harry Fry, his workout, and says he's okay for the Arkle now, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting an awful lot of stick, Rock on Ruby. I'm not really sure what else he's meant to do. Although, well, we didn't really learn a lot in Plumpton on his chase debut. He made one mistake, which I think as a novice chaser and certainly first time chaser, you're entitled to do. Yesterday, did absolutely nothing wrong, but only had one horse to beat, the enigmatic Mr. Mole, who sort of jumped, you know, no questioning Mr. Mole's talent, but again, it's his temperament and it's his jumping. Ruby didn't really have to do a lot. I think it's, you know, people are saying that he can't win the Arkle as a nine-year-old and his jumping. Yesterday, I didn't really see a lot in his jumping. It is unusual for a nine-year-old to win an Arkle. It has been done. Just had a quick shift back through the roll of winners here. Sir Ken in 56 and Danish Flight in 88. If you think that Sizing Europe won it as an eight-year-old not that long ago, I certainly wouldn't be discounting him on trends. There's a stat that goes along with the Arkle that to win an Arkle, you would have had to have been rated at least 142 plus over hurdles. Well, you know, Rock on Ruby was a champion hurdler, so I don't think there's any problem there. You know, he was a 170 rated hurdler. Obviously with the entrance for the JLT, the RSA, you know, the Arkle picture is sort of somewhat up in the air, and the fact now that it looked as though Champagne Fever was heading to the Arkle, and then he got the entry in the PJ Moriarty, which got like over 2.5 miles, and so people thinking, oh, what now? And obviously he's not running in that now. The Arkle picture is still very blurred, but I don't really get the crabbing of Rock on Ruby myself, to be honest with you. He loves Cheltenham. You know, obviously won the champion hurdle there. Was just touched off in a Neptune as well, so he's on my shortlist, to be honest. Marco, you know, I don't understand the sort of stick behind it, really.
Okay. Harry Fry and Noel Feely also making pretty good noises about him. Apparently Noel's happy with him. He said he's better. He was better on Thursday afternoon than he was in his champion hurdle prep 12 months ago. Says he's a better horse, and apparently he really turns the corner from January onwards. So this is the time of year where he's going to start really improving. So yeah, they're making the right noises in the camp, so it'll be interesting. And he's currently 8-1 for the Arkell. The betting looks like this: Champagne Fever 7-2, Dodging Bullets 11-2, Trifolium is 6-1, Hinterland and Rock and Ruby both 8s, Valdez 9s, Felix Younger is 10-1, and then 14-1 for Grand Away and 16-1 or bigger prices the remaining runners. So if I can speak, at 8-1, quarter of the odds 1-2-3, it's not a bad each way price about him.
It's not. I can't understand why Valdez is only a point bigger. I haven't. Obviously, he looks a highly progressive horse, Valdez, but I couldn't have him anywhere near Arkell.
Really? I was quite impressed with Valdez, especially coming off the back of the trouble that Alan Kingsyard had.
I have been impressed with him, and I say I honestly do think he's progressive. But if you sort of look on what it actually takes to win an Arkell, I did a piece on this the other week, and I haven't got the notes for that in front of me. But so I also went back through the last five Arkell winners, and all of them had either a graded victory to their name in bumpers or hurdles. You know, Valdez doesn't have that. His rating over hurdles was, his highest rating over hurdles was 135.
Mm-hmm.
I just, well, I do think he's a very upwardly mobile horse. And of course, you know, why not have a shot at the Arkell? It might fall apart. Do you know what I mean? I completely understand their reasons for going there. I just don't see him as an Arkell horse at this moment in time, and that's why I kind of scratch my head slightly. Is why if you look at a horse with Rock on Ruby's profile, all right, he's a 9 year old and hasn't had sort of, in terms of how the other Arkell contenders are shaping up for their preparations. Harry Fry's sort of going the kind of nice softly route, isn't he? But why not? the horse isn't having a hard time. We know he acts around Cheltenham. We know he's class. It's bizarre. I think sometimes when it comes to Cheltenham, you can try and overcomplicate matters. But one thing you always have to remember is festival form repeats itself time and time again. And so even, you know, look at Rock on Ruby's festival record. Really, it's pretty outstanding. So yeah, I'm certainly not discounting him. Be great. It would be absolutely great for him to win it.
Okay. Anything else caught your eye in the news before we move on to Saturday stuff?
No, I've kind of. I think this week, just trying to sort of, I've been on deadline with the magazine here. So obviously the March edition is quite a large edition, and just I've got a few more bits to do for the website as well. Also been really looking ahead at Leopardstown, so I'm off there this weekend. So just a busy week looking forward, rather than I managed to sit down and late last night and watch a bit of Huntingdon, but it's kind of, I'm going to be playing catch up when I get back.
So you're going to Ireland this weekend?
Yeah, supposed to be flying tomorrow morning, so let's hope that the storm doesn't hit.
Yeah. The Hennessy Gold Cup, then, we could have a quick chat about that. That's the big race on Sunday. And First Lieutenant, the 15-8 market leader. Tidal Bay, reunited with Ruby Walsh, is 11-4. Lyrene Legend, who will have Barry Geraghty on board, is 9-2. Last Installment, 5-1. 11-1 for Lord Windermere. Texas Jack, 12s. And Wadami, 20-1. Have you got an opinion on that race, any? Have you looked at it yet?
Yeah, I have had a look at it. Obviously, First Lieutenant, he's a horse that's so often the bridesmaid. So for those reasons alone, I probably couldn't back him as favourite. But you look at his profile, it's absolutely brilliant. I've just always had a suspicion that First Lieutenant is absolutely at his best bouncing out of spring ground. You see it sort of, he's put in cracking performances at Cheltenham. And also when he won the Betfair Bowl at Aintree, he sort of just, you know, he almost seemed to have wings. That said, he was second in the Lexus, obviously, to Bobsworth. Narrowly denied the year before as well with Tidal Bay. I know he finishes places a lot, but if you look at the places that they are, they're pretty hot races. I think Last Installment, obviously I think they're saying that he might need the run again, so kind of be watching Bruce for that. Lord Windermere, I can't really have at the moment. Obviously RSA winner, but has been pretty disappointing since. Laurie Legend with Barry Geraghty on. Now, I was kind of, the jury was out for me on Laurie Legend, but from what I understand, the horse has had one or two problems. So he is of interest. Roy de May, I don't think, is up to this. Texas Jack, I don't think, will stay the trip, and it is going to be pretty testing in Leopardstown. In Tidal Bay, bless him. Great that Ruby is reunited with him. I think, obviously, the Welsh National was a pretty arduous race in that ground. Just hope at his age that it hasn't taken it out of him. But an on-form Tidal Bay is capable of winning this. Obviously, he's back to the scene of his Lexus win. Ruby seemed to get on well with him. And, I mean, he's just, if you imagine if Paul had had him all this time, you know, I think we would have been looking at a Gold Cup winner. He's just, the old quirks, you know, his head still comes up a little bit, but he does seem a kind of rejuvenated character in the twilight of his career. And yeah, it would be, if he jumps the last in front, he'll be getting a shout home from me.
Okay. Tidal Bay then in the Hennessy Gold Cup will be a popular winner, I'm sure. Let's look at Saturday's action then. We're going to focus on some of the racing at Newbury. A good card at Newbury to look forward to as well, and we're going to look at the three big races, the Denman Chase, the Betfair Hurdle and the Game Spirit Chase. The first of those races is the 225, which is the Denman Chase. It's a Grade 2 contest over the 3 mile trip. If you look at the past winners of this race, the likes of Silviniaco, Conti, Long Run, Denman, Corto Star, an illustrious list, but this year I feel a little bit like we're not going to see that kind of calibre of horse.
Yeah, you'd be absolutely spot on. I'd agree with you there. Interesting that Alfroff was declared. I think Paul Nicholls said at his media day the other day. I wasn't there, but obviously the reports coming out of that was that if the ground was pretty horrific, which it sounds as if even if they don't get the overnight rain tonight, which would be a miracle, that it is going to be pretty testing. You know, we wouldn't be a million miles away. Newbury takes about 40 minutes to drive from where I am, and well, it honestly hasn't stopped raining here all week, so they must be must be getting similar conditions there, and that's reflected in the state of the ground. And he said that he wouldn't be running here, in, you know, if the ground was pretty, didn't want to give him a hard race before the Gold Cup. Look, Alfroff is of course the class act. I'm a little bit puzzled as to what happened in the King George, really. Obviously, my main focus was on trying to work out what happened with, like, cue card stops as if he's been shot and then runs on again. Oh, Alfroff kind of, like, kept on into third. But I'm still just a little bit puzzled as to what actually happened. I was very taken with his first time. I know, obviously, he just beat French Opera. But when he started the season in the Amlin, he was as big as a house. I wasn't there, but even looking at the pictures on TV, he looked absolutely massive, and he wasn't fit and to do what he did, all right, beating one rival. I was pretty taken with that. I don't really see Alfroff as a Gold Cup winner, personally, especially not when you've just got an absolute grinding stare like Bobsworth, who was just going to stick his neck out and come up his favourite hill. But I don't think Alfroff really has to do much to take this. Harry Topper, a horse that divides opinion, and normally with these horses I tend to sit on the positive side of the fence, but I've just never really seen the hype. All right, he did surprise me when he won the Charlie Hall, but if you actually look at the form of that race, it's questionable, isn't it? And then I thought, well, okay, this kind of rejuvenated Harry Topper, shall we say, would have absolutely no problem winning the listed contest at the beginning of December in Sandown, and he ends up sort of beaten by Vino Griego and comes home 3 of 3 horses. I know that they said that the going might have been a bit too quick for him, and then obviously the going was a lot more up his street at Cheltenham. and on trials day when he was third to Giant Bolster and Rocky Creek. But I don't know. I just still don't get it. All right, he was giving weight. He was giving £10 to the Giant Bolster. He was giving £5 to Rocky Creek. So it's not a bad effort, but still, I just don't see him in the calibre of a Gold Cup horse. And then if we look at Vino Griego, obviously last year it was turning out to be a pretty decent handicapper. Wheels came off the bus and then he wins the contest at Sandown, but then ends up being pulled up next time out at Haydock. I just think that he's become a little bit questionable in and out. Kotenko, now, had this race been a year ago, I would have been thinking, yeah, Kotenko could really give Alfa off a race. Obviously, he had the terrible problems with colic, which ruled him out of a Gold Cup campaign and ruled him out last year. Thought it was very unfortunate that he went on the deck in the Hennessy. It was really not what you wanted coming back after such a tough summer and his problems. He disappointed me at Aintree behind Union East because I just thought that I thought the calibre of horse that I thought Kotenko was, he would have beaten Union East. I don't know what to make really of the effort at Haydock. Visually for me, I thought the horse was struggling and really it's his class that kind of gets him there and keeping on. I thought that the Peter Marsh was almost kind of arduous to watch. So he did have a pretty hard race in that. Whether everything has just taken its toll, I don't know. So for those reasons alone, I'm not doubting his class, but for those reasons alone, I couldn't really be with him. Walk On, in an ordinary season, if Alan King hadn't have had the problems, Walk On would interest me because obviously he's getting weight from everything. He was runner-up to Alfa Off in Desperate Ground in the Paddy Power in 2012. Obviously second to, he's pretty versatile with ground, second to Triello Delane at Aintree, has been off since and seating behind Conquisto in the Old Roan in October. Obviously King Yard was hit for the virus, but I know that obviously Alan King had a winner yesterday. There are signs that the yard is coming back, having a bit of resurgence, which is great. But just each horse on their first run back after such a sort of hard-hitting virus in the yard, I wouldn't want to be with, though he is interesting getting weight and he is a class performer. So really factoring everything in that I know, I would have to say Alfa Off. But again, he does have question marks for me, really. So it is, it's a funny old race, Mark.
It is, yes. But Alfa Off,
yes,
is the selection then.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to the second race that we're going to look at. This is the 3 o'clock. This is the what used to be the Game Spirit Chase, a Grade Two contest, and we're over the 2 mile 1 furlong trip. And Dodging Bullets is likely to be pretty popular in the betting, I imagine. He comes here off the back of a hat trick, and he's really turning into a decent animal over the fences now.
He is, and again, he's a horse that has an awful lot of critics. I don't understand why, because he did have an awful lot of problems. Which it doesn't fill you with confidence, but they seem to have got to those problems. Basically, I think what happened was is that he burst. He used to burst all the time. Certainly happened in the Supreme, and it also happened at Aintree as well. And it does seem to be, I know people are saying, oh, don't see him as a spring campaigner, and it does seem to be that his form does tail off in the spring. So it's like, oh, what's going to happen now? Saying that, we're not exactly hitting spring-like conditions yet. But I don't think, he hasn't done anything wrong this season. Like he was, when he won his first, his beginner's chase at Kempton, I was really impressed with him. I thought he jumped impeccably, showed a really, really good attitude. He beat Turnover Sivler that day. Turnover Sivler then has form with Hinterland. He finished second to Hinterland on his beginner's chase at Sandown, where Grandjury crashed out. So then he went to Cheltenham. And okay, people are saying, well, look at the form of that race. Fair enough, but it's still a recognised Arkle trial. I think it was kind of the proximity of how close the Cockney Macam finished. But again, you know, when people say that, I think, well, it can only beat what's there. I personally don't see, can see why people would question the form, but look, he's beaten, Ted Veal looks to be heading somewhere to a handicap at Cheltenham. You know, he's beaten a county hurdle winner there. And then at Kempton at Christmas, I was very impressed. Look, Granduate, lovely horse, but I don't see him as a chaser. I really, really don't. But he slams a class act in Granduate by 10 lengths. What, I don't see how he's getting this crab, and I really don't. Horse that I would actually definitely put into the shake-up of the Arkle, likes Cheltenham. But one question would be, I think there was a school of thought last year that he didn't really like heavy ground. But I have to say, he won the Grade 2 at the Open meeting in 2012, and the ground then was absolutely desperate. It absolutely hosed down on the Friday night here, and that race was run on pretty revolting ground. I don't see why he has his critics. I've always been a bit of a fan of Dodging Bullets. Obviously, talking about a horse that finished fourth in a Triumph to Countrywide Flame as well, I do think he has better class, and I think he gets unfairly knocked. Desert Cry, not on McCain's. I think he had a tough enough race at Sandown only a week ago. Just couldn't sort of find it really to go on past Grey Gold, who he'd beaten the time before. I don't think he'll have any problem with the going, but it wouldn't be for me here, just purely off the back of what happened last week. The two from Tom George's yard, Module, it's been a horse that I just can never ever work out, this horse. And I actually backed him in the Peterborough chase, but you know, his jumping kind of did for him that day. The most impressed I've ever been with Module was when he short-headed Summersby in the Holden. He'll like the going. Obviously, he's got two victories on pretty revolting ground in last season, but still not a horse really that I like to have any confidence in. Majala, again, you're talking about a horse that will absolutely love the going, but he's not for me here. I think the interesting one is Lord of House. I think I read a quote a couple of days ago that Charlie Mann said that they would take him wherever the ground is going to be worse. he loves bottomless going. So that, you know what this ground does, it sometimes, you know, you're going to get horses beating horses that really just, you sort of scratch your head and think, bloody hell, where's that come from? Like, Dodging Bullets rated 155, Lord of House is rated 138. That's a big difference. But I'm not ruling him out, because he's going to absolutely, he's going to love this test. He really is. Brea Star, again, probably echoing what I've said there about the King Yard. I can't really be backing any horse first time up. I want to see how they're each individually acting. He was second in that the Arkle trial in the contest at the Open meeting. Again, I don't think the ground is going to pose him any problems. He certainly goes in soft. It's Dodging Bullets for me is my main pick. Providing, I don't think he'll have a problem with the ground, but I'm very very scared of Lord of House. Purely because he'll love the condition.
Okay. The conditions would have to be quite a leveller for Lord of House to get near Dodging Bullets, though, in my opinion. But you never know. And depends how testing it does turn out to be, I suppose.
I think if we get the overnight rain and they can press ahead with the meeting, I think it's going to be swimming, isn't it? It's going to be extremely testing.
Okay, let's move on to the third race we're going to look at then. One of the big betting races of the day. It's the 3:35, which is the Betfair Hurdle, a Grade 3 handicap over the extended 2 miles. And we have betting on site already. Irish Saint, the 11-2 market leader. Rolling Star, 13-2. Del Arca is 7-1. Cheltenian 9-1. Far West 11s, Smashing 12s. Alivan 14s. That was 33-1 earlier on in the week. Vendor also 14-1. Gibb River 16s with Swing Bowler and Total Eyes. And then 20-1 are bigger prices, the rest. So plenty of them in the lineup here, Catherine. Which ones make the shortlist for the Betfair Hurdle?
My shortlist is Alivan and Far West. If we go with Alivan first, obviously any horse wearing these colours, that any horse taking that kind of steaming in the market, but especially when they're in these colours. I think I talked about him on the pod last week when he may have been lining up at Foss last. Now, interestingly enough, he was taken out of Foss last week on account of the ground, which kind of puzzled me slightly, because I didn't think that he would have any problem with the ground, even though it was pretty like swimming pool-like conditions there. It's going to be exactly the same at Newbury. And I think I said last week, a horse with a fair bit of class. He was third in the Triumph Hurdle when with Edward O'Grady. He was sixth in the county when Final Approach just beat Get Me Out of Here. He was a pretty close up six as well. He was only beaten 2.5 lengths. He also took on Hurricane Fly in the Rabobank of 2012, albeit finished 24 lengths behind him. You're talking about a horse that was considered, good enough to run in that company. Obviously, he had his problems. Was moved from Edward O'Grady to John Joe O'Neill. At first, he didn't run from the Rabobank of 2011 till December last year. But after kind of two, shall we say, how do I word this, warm-ups, he then sort of showed definitely a bit of form in Wincanton when he was second to Quick Decision. The ground that day was absolutely desperate. I'm convinced that this horse is heading towards the county hurdle again. He's absolutely thrown in. He needs to win, obviously. Needs to be winning a race, really, to be getting into Cheltenham. The horse is rated 130. He needs to get that bumped up a little bit. He's allocated to carry 10-6. Maurice Linehan, very, very able pilot, takes the £5 off. The horse is on 10-1. He's a class act. Yes, he had his problems. All right, he's an 8-year-old. I think the oldest winner of the race. You've got to sort of, the last couple of years, is Geos. You've got to go back a bit to get to him. 2004, I think, off the top of my head. But, I mean, it's just, to me, it all adds up and it all clicks. There's so many horses in here, Mark, that are interesting. This is just going to be a fascinating contest, and especially with regards to festival handicaps as well. This is the type of race that I absolutely love. Far West was, when he was beaten by Rolling Star at Haydock, he was found to be suffering from ulcers, so hence, a below par performance that day. Horse that we saw last season absolutely sluicing up in heavy going. Remember him being Handazan at Cheltenham by 19-20 lengths, I think, something like that. The going was absolutely disgusting. He then beat River Maig almost in that match bet at Ascot a year ago. The ground was heavy then. And then, look, he was the horse to get closest to R. Connor, albeit 15 lengths behind him. Second to Melodic Rendezvous on his seasonal debut. Just, this horse is going to absolutely love the going. He's a 5-year-old. Paul Nichols sent Zarkander out to win this as a 5-year-old. Harry Durham takes £5 off the 11-8. Harry Durham, we saw to good effect last weekend with Sapphire de Ray. He's on a roll. They'd be the two for me. It's interestingly as well, I think Far West, before the final declarations were made, Far West was something like 25-1. I thought that was an outstanding price, and stupidly I didn't do anything about it. He's 12-1 now. I love these races, Mark. We could sit here for the next hour and go through every horse and make a case for them. Obviously, Daryl Jacob riding for Ben Case on Deep Trouble. Deep Trouble, I think, is possibly still a little bit ahead of the handicapper. Obviously, when Lane Aspel had that recovery at Sandown. Gidvert, the horse, did extremely well to get across the line. Again, he's gonna love the going. He'd certainly be. I think he's gonna be in the shake up of a home. I think another horse that I think he was my eye catcher in the. I don't think he'll be winning this, but horse that was my eye catcher in the Triumph Hurdle last year, Vasco de Ronceret of Nicky Henderson. He didn't get the best ride from Jacques Ricou, I have to say, and to come home fifth of 17, albeit 22 lengths behind Arcona. I thought it was a pretty good performance. He loved the going. He's not going to be winning, but he's definitely one to be keeping an eye on for the future. Two selections are Alevan and Far West.
Okay, Alevan and Far West. Then Alevan is 14-1, as I mentioned, and Far West is currently 11-1. So a couple of each way prices there to have a bit of fun with in the Betfair Hurdle. Let's just have a quick summary then, if you wouldn't mind, Catherine, before you go.
Yeah, highly unoriginal, but in the Denman, we'll be sticking with Alpha Off. And again, another Paul Nicholls inmate in the Game Spirit. It will be dodging bullets. And in the Betfair Hurdle, Alevan and Far West.
Okay.
Have you got one for this, Mark?
I've actually backed Alevan.
Have you? Okay.
So I'm hoping that runs well. I think he's well handicapped, and yeah. The fact that they've persevered with him for so long.
Yeah, I just think his two appearances for Jonjo, they were obviously they didn't want to be knocking the horse around and just really seeing what they've got. And I mean, his second at Wincanton last time was a lot more encouraging. I think he's still got the class. I think Prompt is interesting for Jonjo as well, right down the bottom. But again, I don't think tomorrow will be his day. But he's a horse I've been keeping an eye on for a while. But yeah, but I love, this was one of my favourite races of the season.
Okay, good stuff. Well, enjoy Saturday's action. Good luck with your selections, and we'll speak to you again next week, I'm sure.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Saturday's racing then. Set to be a good Saturday with action from Newbury and Warwick over jumps. We also have all weather racing from Lingfield, and we finish the day with an all weather fixture at Wolverhampton in the evening as well. So four meetings to look forward to. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10 PM with Stuart Beasley, John Budden and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.